Mary had a little man.
The fall. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
You talked about this community spread, this case in California, that has shaken confidence around the globe, really, because now we're seeing that for the first time here in the U.S. Also this morning, Goldman Sachs out with an exhaustive note, basically redoing its math for the year on what it expects companies to earn and the stock market to do. It expects no profit growth for American companies this year.
Oh, my
God. No profit growth. That's what the stock market measures, right? Profits of companies. It expects U.S. companies to lose money in the first half of the year because of the coronavirus. And if it is a pandemic, a prolonged pandemic, the worst case scenario, you would see a recession in the U.S. Other big banks and economists are also downgrading their expectations for growth and the stock market this year.
Oh, my God. Did you U.S. companies expect to make no profit this year? We have given them everything, anything and everything that they their little hearts desired. Subsidies on the front end, tax loopholes on the back end. And now they're saying, oh, you know, we're going to sell off stocks and people are going to take their profits and go. We're not going to make anything. GDP is predicted to be less than 2%, maybe 1.2 to 1.7%. Well, I thought these tax cuts were going to see 4%, 5%, even 6% growth.
Believe me.
Everything is believe me. And this man has no credibility whatsoever. What a stupid, stupid measure of the economy the stock market is. Okay? It's down 742 points again today. This is madness, what people are actually saying Trump has done for them. Oh, well, look at the stock market. I don't want to look at the stock market. Shield your eyes, everybody. Shield your eyes. Nothing to see here. Move along. And they're saying, now we got to watch the S&P and we'll take the health because of the coronavirus. We got to take the S&P's temperature.
S&P 500 is 8% off of its high. So it's very close to having this official correction. And the Dow is 30 stocks. The S&P is 500. So this is the one you really want to watch here. The Dow is the one that has the president's attention, but the S&P 500 is the broader gauge of stock market health. This is down 8% from its peak. And this Goldman Sachs note, it's forecasting another potential 7% decline in the S&P before it's all said and done, and then a rebound into the end of the year. There are a lot of different forecasts about what could happen. No one, of course, knows for sure.
No one.
But the coronavirus is now becoming kind of a feedback loop here. You've got companies who have no clarity in how bad it will be and when their supply chains are going to improve, guys.
Seriously, you know, does everybody realize that when Donald Trump points to the stock market, when he talks about the Dow Jones, when Donald Trump says that we should measure our economic security based on the Dow, he's telling you to look at 30 companies. The profits that 30 damn companies make is what you're supposed to look at in order to judge how your household is doing. And if those 30 companies in the Dow Jones Industrials are doing well and you're not, it's because you're a loser. That's the message that comes out of the president all the time. Now, the S&P is 500 different companies. And that's lost 8% of its value. We're looking at 2008 crash time stock market performance, all based on something that Trump can't control. What's he going to do? Fire the coronavirus? Is he going to fire it? Is he going to sue it? Is he going to yell at it and demean it and call it, the pencil neck coronavirus? What is he going to do? He can't control it. His friend Xi, President Xi Jinping, with his closed authoritarian government over there, he failed. He failed to contain it. He failed. So we had a town hall last night, and one of the questions had to do with Donald Trump keeps saying that the economy is so good and, you know, some people are thinking it's really good. What do we do about that? And Amy Klobuchar was very clear about the answer to this.
Maybe not in this room, but in the state, the great state of South Carolina, President Trump is very popular. Business is doing well, and unemployment is excellent with record low unemployment rates. We've heard in the past in campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. Why should we vote a president who was so successful on the economy out of office?
because he is not successful for a lot of people in this room. So I would start with that. I always think about when he went down to Mar-a-Lago and after he signed that tax bill and he had this big party in a ballroom and he literally told all of his friends there, you just got a lot richer. Was anyone here in that room? Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't want to embarrass anyone, you know, if you were there. So the point of it is that that's worked really well for some people, but making things more affordable, that should be a focus of a president. And that's everything from bringing down health care costs, which he promised to do. He went on Fox News and he said he would bring pharma prices down so low it would make your head spin. Well, it makes your head spin because they've gone up so far. He has done nothing about college affordability. He has not made the promise, kept the promises on infrastructure, so important here in South Carolina, rural broadband and the like. So I think you have that issue that there hasn't been shared prosperity. Then you have a second set of issues, which is dealing with the long-term challenges to make our economy strong. And that is everything from workforce training to immigration reform, which would be very good for our economy, to climate change. When you look at the effect it's going to have on the economy here in South Carolina and tourism, I look at it as a moral issue, yes, but also an economic issue, to institutional racism and the like. And then finally, if you want to bring people together so we can compete in the world economy and be a beacon of entrepreneurship and a beacon of democracy for the world, you don't go and go after your own people. You don't go after immigrants. You don't say after Charlottesville that there are two sides when the other side is a Ku Klux Klan. There's only one side, and that's the American side.
She's great on middle class issues. That's the case for Klobuchar. Truly, she's always been great on middle class issues. She is, a beacon of middle class values, and she is somebody that could attract the middle, somebody that could attract moderate voters. Will she win? It doesn't look like it. It really doesn't. But I will remind people that if you are looking at somebody like an Amy Klobuchar, keep in mind that she won all three of her Senate campaigns in Minnesota, by more than 20 points. By more than 20 points. By comparison, Donald Trump lost Minnesota by only 1.5 percentage points. And that's a little frightening. But Klobuchar visits all the counties every year in Minnesota. She goes everywhere all the time. She doesn't just show up in election years. And she speaks to people who are rural. She speaks to people who are in the middle class, in cities. She is, she's obviously to the left of Barack Obama, who was, really quite a centrist. But she's still somewhere in the middle. She's progressive without being all the way to the left. So I don't think that she'll win, but there is a case to be made for Amy Klobuchar. I mean, last night, when you watch these town halls, they're so good. They're so good because each candidate has an entire hour to field questions from the audience instead of fielding questions from Gail King. I still can't get over what an embarrassment that debate was. I really cannot get over how mortified I was with the last debate being hosted by the people at CBS ahead of Super Tuesday. I just want you to know there is a case to be made for each and every candidate, each and every one. I'm starting to wonder now, like, who are you for? I would like to know from you, like, who are you for? Because I won't tell you who I'm for until after I actually mark it down on a ballot in person on March 17th.